Morning.
Morning.
It's great every week getting together, praising our Lord and God together. Some weeks we come here and we've had a great week and we have a lot to be thankful for. And the other weeks we've had stressful weeks or poor health or family struggles. And to be able to come here and to worship the same God together is amazing. I love doing that with y'all. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark again. We're going to be in Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 20 through 25. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. Today we're going to cover a topic that nearly all of us have participated in. Sorry, I'm getting something. We're going to cover something that if you've been a Christian, you have done this. And most of us from day one, from the first day that we were a Christian, and some of us even did this before we were Christians. Some of us have been doing this for several decades, yet we all probably still feel somewhat inadequate. I believe if there are very few things, if anything, more essential than knowing the Lord your God and going to Him through prayer. Today we're talking about prayer. And I believe prayer, alongside with our Bibles, is our lifeblood and our relationship to God. It's what our relationship with God looks like. It is through prayer. It takes our relationship with Him from stale facts to a conversing relationship. See, when Jesus took our sins, He ripped that curtain wide open. And we no longer have a mediator to go through, but we have direct access to God. It's one of the sweetest gifts that He gives us. Absolutely amazing that you and I get to talk to God. The creators of the heaven and earth. But most of us struggle with our prayer life. We know it's amazing. We know that it's a great gift. But a lot of us struggle with consistency. If I had a survey and said, tell me, is your prayer life strong or is it weak? I think most Christians would say that it's weak. We're not alone in this. This struggle has been going on in the churches for a long time. God has blessed this particular church for over 60 years. This church has been here for over 60 years. And it's made some great impacts in this community. Right now we have an AA group that meets three times a week. We've got a preschool that literally teaches kids the gospel through counting and through letters and the alphabet. The church has gone on amazing mission trips. We've sent out missionaries in this church. We have a church that reaches youth in this area in a way that no other church can. It gives them a safe place to come and to learn about God, to learn about the gospel every week. I believe that we have sound doctrine straight out of Scripture that has spent a lot of time making sure that we do this right. But one thing that we have to be known as is a church that prays. As long as I'm here, that's going to sound like a broken record. We have to be a church that prays. Because for many of us, prayer does not come naturally. We live in a pragmatic society where we are fiercely independent. And we have to get out of the mindset of what I really need is a new book or a new study or to dig into something deeper or have godly people around me. Those are great things. But God desires above all those things is for us to be on our knees in prayer. One of my favorite men that I've known since a child in this church. I got to see him age, and he aged gracefully, but as he got older and his body was breaking down, he started seeing that he was able to do less and less in for the church. Naturally, you start seeing that your walls start coming in, and you're able to have less and less independence. And for somebody that's been active in the church for so long, that is difficult. But he said one thing he could still do is pray. And he said he was somewhat marginally successful with this. So he decided to start praying from his knees and saw great success in that. What wisdom. Remember, one of my favorite courses in college was church history. I loved it and I hated it. I loved it because there was a lot of amazing stories, but I hated it because some of the stories were amazing. Many of the stories were amazing because of how ugly the church has been through the centuries. But one thing that I learned that's very obvious, as you look at church history, there is no great revival, there's no great saint in history that was not on their knees, that didn't start from prayer. Prayer was at the center of every great movement in the church. And we can look back and see how God uses people that have terrible theology. And God uses them in mighty ways. We've seen God use people that have little to no access to the Bible. And God uses them in amazing ways. They lack what we have today, but they didn't lack prayer. My prayer for this church and my prayer for you specifically this week is that the Holy Spirit would awaken us to see that our prayers carry weight with Him. For us to consider how much we have been blessed, but we're just scratching the surface. What if we all prayed the way that Jesus taught us to pray? Imagine what God would do. When our prayers shift from a religious routine of I can check that off today to a heartfelt prayer, a passionate conversation with God Almighty. That's my prayer for you and that's my prayer for this church. Because I know that through Scripture, prayer forms us and it allows God to do the impossible. Now there are several ways to pray. There are several different types of prayer. As we are studying the Gospel of Mark this morning, we're just going to focus on one prayer, and it's the one prayer that we've all done. God, I need this. The prayer of supplication. See, this is a prayer that we've all had. In fact, it's probably the prayer that we pray the most. God, here's my needs list. In fact, many people that are not Christians, when life is shaking so badly, will say, God, I need your help. I don't even know if you're there, but I'm just going to throw this out there just in case. That's the type of prayer we're talking about, that God, I need you to show up here. Because that's what Jesus is teaching in Mark 11:20 this morning. I'm going to go ahead and get into the Word. In the morning as they went along, they saw a fig tree that had withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Wow. If you weren't here last week, or if you need a refresher, last week Jesus was angry. He was having a bad day. He started his morning off literally by cursing a fig tree. And then he goes to the temple, the house of prayer. And he sees the poor being taken advantage of. He sees money exchangers ripping people off. He sees the people that are selling doves for sacrifices ripping people off. And Jesus sees that the temple is not a house of prayer, but more like a flea market. And he starts flipping over tables and kicking over benches or clearing benches because his Father's glory was at stake. And he does this during the Passover, which is where the temple is absolutely crammed full of people. And Jesus runs them out of the temple. Must have been a chaotic scene. And then he and his disciples leave. And as they leave, they pass by the same fig tree that Jesus had earlier cursed. And Peter sees it. And he's like, wow, look. Jesus cursed this morning, and look at it now. And Jesus is going to take that example of the fig tree that literally happened, and he's going to use it to teach them how to pray. And the very first thing he says after that in verse 22 is, have faith in God. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea in it, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it'll be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And this is a verse that I've heard over and over growing up in the church. The health and wealth movement adopts this verse. They use this all the time. But I want to point out some things that are in here. Jesus here is clearly teaching his disciples about prayer. The first thing he says is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. They had just seen Jesus curse the fig tree, and the tree went from looking extremely healthy, although it didn't have figs on it, to withered. And Jesus starts off by saying, have faith in God. They're looking at this tree in amazement because of what Jesus had done with it. And he says, have faith in God. See, our prayers can have only power if it's from God. There's no power in prayer itself. There's no magic in the words that we are praying. There's no power in just repeating a mantra to yourself. Our prayer is not just for our peace of mind. Our prayer is giving it to God and pleading with Him to take charge. See, prayer is more than just thinking, but actually going to God. It's more than just in our mind, but it's literally going to God with it and having a conversation with Him. We are consciously going to God. You see, people have fought wars to be close to God. And we could not be closer. We get to go directly to Him. The idea of us consciously going to God is huge with prayer. Because we get to be very specific. And in fact, Jesus teaches us to be very specific in our prayers. Not just this generic prayer of God, bless me through this. But God, I need you, and I need you in this very specific area in my life. God, give me wisdom on this. Give me wisdom on how I'm supposed to respond to the circumstance that I find myself in. Prayer goes beyond analyzing. It goes beyond seeking godly counsel, but actually and physically praying about it. Often we think things that... Often I believe we overthink things. We try to come up with solutions on our own. And if we can't figure it out on our own, we seek godly counsel, people that we respect. And we think we're good. And we completely bypass prayer. I'll throw myself under the bus here. Let me give you an example of my own life. I love the Bible. It goes without saying. I went to college primarily to study the Bible. And because the girl-to-guy ratio was 5-1. But I went to college to study the Bible. I spend several hours a week preparing a message in the Bible. That's why we go verse by verse through the Bible. I love it. But when you go verse by verse, you get some very difficult passages. I remember I was ignorant enough to... I think my second book in the Bible that we went through together as me being your pastor was Genesis. There are some tough passages in Genesis. And I would find myself as I was preparing, thinking, what in the world am I going to do with this? I would start looking up commentators. I would start listening to try to find sermons online of how other people prepared their messages. I would seek godly counsel, whether it was through the elders or Kim or whoever. And then it would dawn on me. Go to God. Pray. Ask him. Ask the author of the book that you're preaching on. Go to him. He is your mentor. And I would go, when I prepare, I have that generic prayer. You know, God, help me focus on the right things. Bless me through the typical prayer where you can check off when you're done. And okay, now I can really get to work. Right? And I remember going through the book of Genesis several times. Oh, yeah. I got to go to him. A lot of times, prayer is the last resort for several of us. But we can go to him and we can ask anything of him. And the thing that as I'm getting older, that I have to ask more and more of is for wisdom. And he gives it. I remember when I went through the difficult divorce passage in this gospel a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. I started the week off in deep prayer. God, show me what direction to go with this passage. And was able to come up here and freely preach. Because I knew if I ticked you off, I could just point you back to him. And there's a lot of freedom that happens when we can pray and know that he is in charge. The Bible has changed my life. I know for most of you, if not all of you, the Bible has changed your life. And my prayer this week is for as much as the Bible has shaped and formed our life, that you are challenged to allow prayer to do the same. Think about the things in your life that brings you anxiety or fear or stress. Where do you go first? Where do you go last? Have you actually talked to God about it? I mean, actually say, God, I know that you know what I'm going through, but let me explain it to you. When people come and seek counsel from me, I always pray before I go and meet with them for wisdom. And one of the first questions I ask them is, have you prayed about this? Because as much as I enjoy being your pastor, as much as I enjoy counseling with you, have you taken it to God? Verse 22, he said, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Jesus tells the disciples, he shows the disciples here that their prayers, that they, through their prayers, they have direct access to God. They have direct access to such power as a mountain throwing itself into the sea. And I think it's important to point out where Jesus tells them this. He tells them this on the Mount of Olives. They're literally on a mountain, and they can see the Dead Sea below them. So as Jesus is talking about this, they can visualize exactly what he's saying. For a mountain to throw itself into the sea is impossible. And that's not literally what Jesus is teaching them to pray about. He's using it as a metaphor, saying if you want to see God do impossible things, things that you can't even imagine, go to him in prayer. Ultimately, Jesus is showing his disciples that they have the same access to God that Jesus does. Let me say that again. He's showing them that they have the same access to God that he does. And the amazing thing is, that's still accurate today. We have the same access to God that Jesus did, his son, because his son is in us. We have the same unbelievable power from God that Jesus did. I mean, the disciples just saw Jesus curse a fig tree, and within 24 hours it had withered. And Jesus is saying, you think that's amazing? You can go to God and ask Him to throw the mountain into the sea, and He can do that. Through prayer, we have the same access to God that Jesus did. And that's why, to me, one of the most amazingly difficult verses in the Bible to believe is true. You know, you read these verses in the Bible that you're thinking, there's no way. But I know I'm supposed to believe in the Bible, so it's got to be true. And Jesus is the one that says this one. This one I struggle with. John 14:11-12. You guys don't have to turn there, but this verse is amazing. John 14:11-12. Jesus says, believe. Believe me when I said that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe it on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, get this, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. That I can understand. That we'll do the same works that Jesus is doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus is teaching His disciples that you're going to do greater things than Jesus did. It's unbelievable. How? How is this possible? We have the same access to God that He had because Jesus is in me. He died for us. He took our sins so that now you and I are pardoned. We are justified. We're made holy just as if we had never sinned. And just as the Father is in Jesus, Jesus is in us. Which means when you and I are praying and Christ is in you, God sees it as Jesus praying. We have to remember when we're praying that Jesus is in me. But I believe we have this problem of religion. And when I say religion, I don't mean that in a negative thing. But we tend to have this standard of what's good enough and what's blessed and what's not. And what happens is when your life is going well. I mean, when you've got your finances taken care of and you're comfortable and your health is doing well and you haven't sinned in a long time, you don't have this lingering sin that you're dealing with and things are going well, prayer life is normally affected by it because you think, I got this. And on the other side, when your world is falling apart, your health is bad, you do have this lingering sin. You have this bad attitude constantly. You treat your spouse bad. You treat your coworkers badly. And you're thinking, I can't go to God in prayer. Look at the mess I am. We have to remember Christ in me. Only the gospel tells us how needy we are. And He is there to fill all of our needs. And that's where we find our worth. And that's why we pray. And that's why we can pray. We have to understand we are not okay. Every day we need Him. But we also have to understand that we are loved. And we trick ourselves into thinking that we're okay when we're not. And we trick ourselves into thinking that we are not loved when we couldn't be more loved. Verse 23. Very truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. We pray to God because of Jesus. And we pray through faith. Now this is the tricky part. The faith aspect of prayer. And this is where I could get in trouble this morning. You pray an honest prayer that God does not answer. And what is people's response? Clearly you didn't have enough faith. Have you heard that? Have you seen that? Have you thought that? There are several healing pastors that go around and have these healings. And then they'll go from one town to the next and have to have counselors come in behind because of those that weren't healed, thinking that something's wrong with me. Clearly, I didn't have enough faith. Have you heard this before? Have you felt this before? I mean, I've prayed some good prayers, and my prayers weren't answered. Sometimes, in fact, it wasn't answered, it was almost comically the reverse of what I prayed. And at first thought, you try to internalize it. What did I do wrong? Did I say the wrong words? Did I not have enough faith? But how much faith is enough? Do we have this barometer of faith that we can go by? You remember when the disciples in Mark chapter 9 was trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it, and they went to Jesus and they said, "Why couldn't we do this?" And Jesus told them, "You didn't even pray." You see, they had cast out demons, they had healed people up to this point, and when they see this man is demon possessed and they couldn't cast him out, they tried to do it on their own, they didn't even hit their knees and pray, and they said, "Jesus, why?" And Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, this is Jesus' answer. He replied, "Because you have so little faith." They had faith in themselves, but they didn't even go to God. He said, "Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Now move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, what's the barometer of faith here? To that point, to their knowledge, the mustard seed was the smallest seed that they knew of. And that is the faith that's required. The faith of a mustard seed to make a mountain move. Faith is an important part. But our faith is in God. It's in His power. It's in His ability. God wants a wholehearted prayer. In verse 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Faith is a crucial part to our prayers. There's no doubting that. But it's faith in Him. Faith that if I don't have enough faith, He does. When I am lacking in faith, God has enough. I've prayed many times, "God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to pray in this situation. I don't even know what the desire of my heart in this situation is, but You do. God, I completely turn this over to You because I can't even comprehend what's going on. But I know You do." James chapter 1, verse 5. James is a beautiful book when it talks about prayer. James 1, 5. I think this is a verse that all of us should learn. "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But whenever you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." God doesn't just want words from us. He doesn't just want Christian cliches, but He wants to hear the cries of our heart. We have learned to generalize our prayers to make them broad so we won't be let down. Say things like, "God, bless that family. God, bless this church." We're very generic in our prayers, I believe, because we're scared if I get specific, what happens if He rejects it? I don't want to be let down. And at some point, we have to understand as Christians that we're leaving it up to God to answer our prayers. It's His desire to know our heart. It's His want for us to continue to go to Him and share the concerns of our heart. Now, there are people in my life that I've been praying for years. Some for salvation, some for healing. And God has not answered that prayer yet. You know what we're called to do? Keep praying. Continue to hit your knees and keep praying. Why? Because that's still the desire of my heart. I know God can heal them like that. And so it's my desire, and I'm supposed to bring those to Him. Because that's what He calls us to do. And you learn to not get let down because you're not in control. He is. And we know that He's all good. We have to learn to pray specifically and understand that He answers in His way. But you have to keep praying, not just for the results, but because that's what He calls us to do. And the amazing thing is we get to do it. Literally, we get to go to God and He listens. There's no curtain. There's no separation. There are desires that I believe that you have a hard time going to Him and praying for. You think that maybe He won't answer it. Or maybe this is a selfish prayer. God knows and He just wants to hear it from you. I was thinking about prayer this week. And as I was thinking about prayer and God's sovereignty, I had a struggle there. But here's where I concluded. There's not one moment in time that He is not working together all things for our good. For those that are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can change that. He won't allow anything to change that. It's His sovereign plan. But get this. He has ordained that our prayers play an active role in His plan. A sovereign God says, your prayers play a role in His plan. So don't allow God's sovereignty to limit your prayers, because our prayers do play an active role in His plan. And we have to use that. Because there are things that are not in our lives because we simply don't ask Him. There are things in this church, in this city, and in this life that don't happen because we don't hit our knees and ask. It's why we have to be a praying church. This community needs us to be a praying church. This city needs us to be a people of prayer, because it moves God to do miraculous things. It absolutely does. But there's an elephant in the room that has to be addressed. Why are there great people of faith that are still sick among us? That have been chronically ill for decades? Why did Laura Thompson never stand up out of her chair? She was a person of faith and she prayed for healing over and over again. And by the way, Laura's dancing in heaven today. There's a theology that says, as long as I have enough faith, then God will say yes no matter what. Tell you from Scripture, that's blatantly false. God is ultimate, not our faith. If anyone leads you to believe that you would be healed, but you're not healed because your faith isn't enough, our faith is not ultimate. God is. You can have amazing faith and still hear no from God. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've read it. Jesus heard no from God. Say that again. Jesus heard no from God. I mean, how more definitive does it get than that? Is there greater faith than Jesus? No. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, in His most desperate moment, heard no. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we're looking ahead. Mark 14, verse 35 and 36. Going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground and He prayed that if it's possible, that the hour might pass from Him. Abba, Father, He said, everything is possible for You. And look what He asked. He says, take this cup from Me. Yet not what I will, but Your will. You see that? And you compare that to what we read this morning. Truly, I tell you, if anybody says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, and you have received it, it'll be yours. But then there's this prayer that Jesus prayed in his most desperate time, saying, God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way than the cross, I choose that way. Jesus knew that God's wrath for our sin was about to be unleashed on him. He was so stressed that he was sweating blood, Scripture says, and he's crying out to God. He calls him Father. He says, Father, I know everything is impossible for you. We see his faith right there. Everything is possible for you. Can you find another way? He was very direct in his prayer. Take this cup from me. He puts his cards all on the table. He doesn't have a broad prayer. He doesn't say, God, bless me through this process. He says, take this from me. So, should he have heard a yes from God? Did this verse that we just read in Mark, is that null and void because he had the faith? But God didn't answer the way that he had asked. The Father's answer was no. Because he couldn't be swayed by this. And you read this and you think, how is this possible? How do these two verses mesh with one another? It sounds like and feels like that even our best faith can at times do nothing. But the other impossible thing that prayer does is it reshapes our heart. God didn't deny Jesus. Yes, Jesus went to the cross, but let's read the verse again. Going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. And the next part is the most important part here. Yet not what I want, but what you will. Jesus had a desire for God to remove the cup, but his desire did not outweigh being in the center of God's will. Your will be done, even if it means more suffering. God did the impossible thing through Jesus, and it did require Jesus to suffer. God does impossible things through prayers. And think of the mountain that was moved that day when Jesus was crucified. The curtain torn from top to bottom. To allow us to be washed by Jesus. To be clean and pure and holy. And to have Christ in us. He did the impossible. And through prayer, he changes our hearts to see that our request should never trump God's will in our life. God says, give me the desires of your heart. Tell me what's on your heart. Give it to me. And God, your will be done. You have someone in your life that's suffering from poor health. Hit your knees and ask for a miracle. Pray over them. Pray for them. You have somebody in your life, or are you yourself suffering with depression? Are you suffering from a sin that you just can't let go of? Hit your knees and pray. Because we know our prayers can do impossible things. See, prayer is not a one and done thing. Prayer is a cycle that we're in for the rest of our life. And we have to get past the mindset of, man, I got to do this all the time. We have access to God the Father. Think of how desperate people were in the Old Testament to get a glimpse of God. We have direct access through Christ Jesus. We get to do that. One of my favorite things to do in this prayer is being an elder and being called with the other elders to go pray over somebody. To pray over the James chapter 5 prayer. To anoint them with oil and to give it over to God. To be specific and ask for a healing and to see how God has answered several of those prayers. It's moving. And where is the power in that? certainly not in me. It's certainly not in the oil. It's by God. So I have a challenge for you this week. Be a person of prayer. Wake up early in the morning before the chaos of the day starts and hit your knees in prayer and be specific. I also have a prayer for our church that we'll collectively do this together. I haven't shared this yet, but about 3 years ago, I was in the education building, and almost every room down there was just used for storage. And walking from storage room full of junk after storage room full of junk, I was in the nursery, and I hit my knees and prayed. And I said, God, fill this place with children. And I had a vision of kids running around down there. God gave me this vision of kids running around, and within 3 years, we have over 50 kids that show up Monday through Thursday. And it's chaotic, it's loud, and it's beautiful. Be specific in your prayers. Don't feel guilty for your prayers. God says for us to pour out the desires of our heart to Him. Keep praying. Keep praying no matter how lonely you feel. Keep praying no matter how difficult the circumstance. No matter how dark things get, keep praying. When God feels close, hit your knees. When God feels distance, hit your knees. He's ready and waiting and He's listening. Let's pray. Lord, it's amazing to me that no matter how long we're Christians, we're still trying to figure out this prayer thing. And I thank you how dynamic prayer is and how simple it can be also, the God, that you are the one in control and we give you the desires of our heart and know that you're a God that has more power than we can imagine. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here this morning. I pray that as they leave this place, God, that you soften their hearts to hit their knees in prayer when times are good and when times are difficult. Lord, we are such a blessed people because we're able to have direct communication to you. And we're thankful that we can do that because of the blood of Jesus. And it's because of what He has done. And in His name we pray. Amen.